Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hey, 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 Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and now the happy host of the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution. Creators of the most powerful marketing and communication software built specifically to meet the needs of insurance agencies and brokerages. Hey, if you're listening to this podcast, I sense that, one, you believe in organic growth, and two, you believe that the relationship you have with your clients is the heart of your business. True on both counts? If so, if you haven't seen a demo lately, visit agencyrevolution.com. Get a free demo, award-winning software, and find out why. And hey, thrilled to have you on this podcast. One of my favorite topics, organic growth in the independent insurance agency, and a very articulate, very intelligent guest and conversation. Matt O'Neill is the chief experience officer for Beyond Insurance and draws on his experience and the years of experience with Beyond Insurance and working with independent insurance agencies to discern or dissect what the critical growth factors are for agencies who are serious about organic growth. So, really, without much further ado, it is a great privilege of mine to introduce you to this conversation with Chief Experience Officer, Master Coach for Beyond Insurance, Matt O'Neill. Matt O'Neill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about this conversation because you and I share something in common. We have a passion for organic growth in the independent insurance agency. And
Absolutely.
And it's my turn to pick your brain. So let's first start out with a brief bio. Who are you? How did you get to be there?
Yeah. So first of all, again, thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it. Since I'm Matt O'Neill, and I've been working with Beyond Insurance for a little over 8 years. I actually came right out of school. I originally was selling windows and doors and siding door to door.
Look, as you know, I also had a door to door background, and I think it's a terrific background for every entrepreneur. I sold dry cleaning certificates.
So you understand the fear of going to up to a door to a complete stranger and trying to convince them of a product that they may not necessarily need.
They needed my product.
And they needed windows, yeah, too, I'm sure. And then you get rejected, and you just walk down the steps, walk to the next door, and you do it all over
again.
Right. I learned a lot, but that's, I think, how I rolled into Beyond Insurance and the philosophy of the company, where we're adding more value as opposed to just doing an apples-to-apples, you know, price and product quote. It really resonated with me, and that's where I've had the opportunity to learn under Scott and grow while we were at his insurance agency, and now I get to work with a wonderful network of insurance agencies around the country and a group of underwriters.
And when you reference Scott, Scott is Scott Addis, who is a longtime friend and colleague of mine, and he has also been a podcast guest, one of the early podcast guests, so...
Yep.
So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll dig into that in a little bit. But I really want to dive into some of the, you guys are doing some cutting-edge work right now, doing some research and giving people an opportunity to get feedback. So I want to talk to you about what you're doing in regards to identifying the mindset of the growth-oriented agency principal and some of the distinctions between them and those who don't have that mindset.
Yeah, so I think we're at a really interesting time within this industry, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to your podcast can feel it as an agency owner, or perhaps even as an agent.
Well, if they've been listening to this podcast, then they know it's an interesting time.
Absolutely, yeah. And you and I being outsiders trying to impact the community and give guidance on where the future of the industry is heading, I think that we're uniquely positioned to elaborate on the fact that, you know, things like M&A and all the insurtech that's coming into the industry and automation, it puts a big question mark over the head of not just the independent agent, but the independent agency system. But I think you and I would agree that the independent agency system, there is still a vital need for it, and I don't think we believe that it is going to go away completely, but it is going to change in the next 2, 3, 5 years. And, I mean, even within 1 year, realistically. But what we've been able to identify is that there are some agencies out there that we would call growth-oriented agency leaders. And these are people that have a desire to remain independent, but sometimes struggle to develop a unique enough value proposition that sets them apart in their local marketplaces. And that's where the battle against commoditization comes in. We also know that a lot of agencies aren't in a position to even grow just for a number of different reasons that surround the longevity of it.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because you said something a minute or two ago I can't ignore. the change in the industry. I think you're kind of positioning it as a central point. Like this is it's a serious time. It's a time when people have to be somewhat vigilant, right? And you said that your firm, you and your firm, stand on the premise that it won't completely go away. So now, let's dig into that a little bit.
Definitely.
Do you think would your observation indicate that? That this channel may shrink?
So if we look at the way other industries have been impacted by technology, I think we've seen a consolidation and the best of the best survive, so to speak.
Right.
If we look at, if you ask any of the agencies that we're working with, they're getting called daily by these large organizations that are trying to buy up agencies and offering exorbitant amounts of money for it as well. But we know that a lot of agency leaders really want to remain independent if they have that option and they have the luxury of having a strategy to keep the organization alive long term.
Mm-hmm. All right. So clearly we're going to see consolidation. I think you suggested a couple of reasons: technology and private equity.
Yep.
Okay.
So those would be two.
At some point, a lot of the private equity firms own centrally but locate locally or operate locally. And so the local community may not notice much of a difference.
Exactly, because I understand that these local agencies, the reason that they've been so successful or have been around for as long as they have is because they still have that local feel. But the challenge is when you join a larger national organization like that, the demands of growing usually end up in, you know, cutting costs and increasing your organic growth. But a lot of these larger guys, not trying to throw stones at them, but they sometimes will lack a strategy or a roadmap to help the agency grow to that degree, which puts a lot of pressure on these agency leaders.
Okay. Let me throw in one or two other things. Changes in consumer behavior. Let's say the rise of the millennial generation. Do you think some agency leaders won't survive this transition, this transformation of the industry that you're talking about, simply because it's not what they signed up for? They don't want to learn a whole lot of new skills that are necessary in the modern age. Do you think some of the consolidation of the industry, you think that's one reason why is not everybody's up to the task or chooses not to be up to that task?
I think what you're sort of getting at, and it's something that I've been researching fairly closely, And I recently wrote an article on Rough Notes about this, actually in the last month or so that it came out, was about organizational culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is an opportunity to assess an organization's culture and identify, are they traits or are the behaviors that you're trying to exhibit with throughout the agency, are they traits that would attract the type of talent that you need to have your agency continue to grow and thrive? I know I hear from a lot of agencies that like the talent pool is really thin and it's really challenging to hire quality talent or even attract millennials to the agency. But being an outsider, if you look at a lot of these agencies and the way that they're run and structured, if they don't have an attractive or an appealing culture as opposed to a lot of the other options that are probably either in their marketplace or the nearby metropolitan areas, they will find a challenge, but it's something that can be fixed as well.
So I'm going to agree with you 110%. I don't hear that from agencies that have a great agency. They have a waiting list of people who want to come work there. But I think particularly if we want to attract millennials into the industry, they can't walk into an insurance agency where that feels like it's 1995 and they're using tools that, you know, from 1995 or 2005.
Exactly.
If we want a modern agency, then, and we want people who can relate to the modern customer, we need a modern agency.
100%.
All right. So, all righty.
And I can say that because I'm a millennial too.
Yeah.
I can throw that in.
So, you know, you work with cool tools. You don't want to like work 8 hours a day or whatever it is, and then, you know, go home and say, finally, cool tools. Right.
Exactly.
Finally,
millennials are really looking for, like,
I'm walking into, you know, the modern age, and
they want
and then when you go to work, I'm walking out of it. That doesn't work.
Exactly. Yep. No, that's 100%. They don't want to have to be one totally different person when they walk into the office and then be totally different when they get home. They want a fun experience, whether it's in the office, whether it's on the road, whether it's working with clients. Right? They want to be able to enjoy what they're doing, and it's up to the agencies to create a culture that is fun and makes insurance fun, which, believe it or not, it can be if you have the right processes in place.
Right. Work can be a blast, right? Especially fast growth agencies are lots of fun.
Exactly.
There's a lot of excitement. Okay. So you and your firm, you have identified characteristics of this growth-driven agency, right? The agency. So is it for the agency leader? Are there characteristics of the agency leader, or are you looking at members of the team or both?
So that's a really great question. So there's three areas that we are assessing today when it comes to an organization's ability to grow. The first one is the individual agent or producer. Right? So there's certain characteristics that an agent needs to be successful beyond just the technical insurance background. It's things like, do you have an ability to fill your pipeline effectively? Are you connecting with clients, and this one will resonate with you, connecting with clients where their attention lies, like social media or online? Or do you have an effective cross-selling or account rounding process? Things like that. So we've been assessing those for individuals, but we've also been doing that on an agency-wide scale through some of the assessments that we kind of opened up to the public, I guess is the right way to say it.
Yep.
So that's one area.
The individual agent, okay, or producer, right?
Yep, definitely. Okay. So individual agents. The second area is sales leadership. So this is, I think, a huge challenge within the industry, and this was actually a study that was done by Reagan Consulting, but they assessed producer development and realized that 50% of producers have no mentoring system. So imagine, imagine bringing in this millennial who's excited to learn about the business, but then not actually have a roadmap to begin growing. I mean, that's a challenge, right? And so,
give them a yellow pages and say start calling?
Yeah, that's what you'd be surprised. I mean, and oh my God, don't even get me started on cold calling. It's AT&T recently rolled out a phone blocker so that if you don't have the phone number saved in your phone, it will automatically go to voicemail. So they're really putting pressure on this cold calling process, but a number of agencies still rely on that as their primary way to get young agents up and running. And the challenge with that is, if you look at that survey even further, they've looked at the attrition rate of new agents after 3 years is only 50%. So imagine any hire you get, whether they're the most experienced agent in the marketplace or completely fresh and green, you're flipping a coin to decide whether they are going to be successful. That's a big risk. And the dollars invested in that goes even further. We looked at it, and we found that close to, you're investing about $100,000 per year on this new agent on training and development. So let's say after 3 years, you've spent $300,000 and then have to flip a coin and decide whether they're actually going to stick around or not.
Ah, and those are the ones who, like, have chosen not to go on their own.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you referenced a study that demonstrated this data. What was the source of the study? Who did this?
Reagan Consulting.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. So Reagan has that. We could, if anyone has an interest, we have that information. I'm happy to send it out if they want.
Got it. All right. And also could reference the interview that I had with Tom Duran at Reagan Consulting.
Yeah,
I think we may
absolutely
have another one coming up, but I don't think that was the topic that we addressed. Okay. So you have three levels of assessment, the agent or producer, sales leadership, and the third one?
Now the third one, and this is the one that I think is most appealing to probably the people listening on today, is what we call the organic growth assessment. And this one is just for agency leaders. This one is assessing your ability to grow organically. Do you have the right metrics and processes in place? And this is things where this is very laser focused on seven different areas. Do you want to go through the seven?
Oh,
a little
love
more in
to.
Depth?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm going to squeeze as much out of you as I can.
Yeah. Okay. That's perfect.
Right.
So let's start with number one. This is client benchmarking, and this is, do you have a process in place that benchmarks customer intimacy and loyalty?
Ah, okay. And so what kind of data or analysis do you suggest for benchmarking intimacy?
So there's a number of different ways you can do it. The way that we've done it, and we thought it's just so simple this way, and this is, any agency can do this if they open up like a SurveyMonkey account, is sending out what we call the one question survey. And this was developed by a guy named Fred Reichel. I'm sure almost all of us have been asked this question at one point, but he was challenged to find one question that benchmarks customer intimacy and loyalty. And that question is, on a scale from 0 to 10, how likely would you refer our business to a friend or colleague? It's tried and true net promoter score.
Yeah, the NPS score, which is
really,
really widely used in the industry. And it may have come from Bain's research, as I recall. I think he may have come from there. And so It is widely used, and let me just throw something in here. Their research demonstrated that the highly loyal insurance customer, so in other words, somebody would rate your agency or their provider as a 9 or 10, delivers 7 times the lifetime value of a low loyalty customer, which is a 0 through 6, and 3 times the lifetime value of a neutral customer who would score a 7 or an 8. So, boom, I love the fact that the very first thing that you threw out was customer intimacy, because that is the roadmap to maximum customer lifetime value.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of agencies don't have any process in place today to benchmark it. And so we felt this is like the most simplistic way. You can do really robust surveys if you want, but at the very core of it, you need to understand how do your customers feel about you. Imagine if you send out this survey, and I know we're going to bump right up into 1-1 renewals. Imagine you sent this survey out today, and one of your largest clients that's renewing 1-1 gives you a 4.
Right.
You can almost guarantee that they're either actively looking for a new agent, or other agents are actively, you know, shopping or doing some sort of a risk assessment to learn about your largest client's business. That's a huge threat to your organization. So why not do something as simple as just asking them, how likely would you refer us, and see, you know, what they're actually going to tell you. And the feedback you're going to get is going to be amazing. With SurveyMonkey, you can actually see the name and, like, the full name, if you set it up correctly, and and their scores. So you can see that Jim from Jim Manufacturing gave you a 9, and he's one of your raving fans.
By the way, I can't resist throwing in a shameless plug for the host of the of this podcast, Agency Revolution, has an unbelievably elegant and a new NPS feature. So I've seen it. It is beautiful. It's really, really well presented. So it looks good on both ends. So you look classy when you send it, and you get really great information back. So in any case, moving on.
And I think technologies like that are enhance it even further. Yeah. So I'm glad that you dropped that in there.
Okay. And so number one is
client benchmarking.
Okay. Number two?
Now we move to number two, and that's cross-selling. This is, in my opinion, one of the most underutilized sales tactics in many agencies because they don't have a defined process or a deliberate focus on how to cross-sell effectively.
Mm-hmm. And we know that one of the things, the single thing that we can do that probably has the greatest effect on intimacy is to sell the second or third policy.
Yeah.
That's also really well researched by Bain. Okay, so cross-selling. And so the question essentially is, does the agency have a systematic discipline to cross-sell?
Exactly. Uh-huh. And one thing that we recommend, and this ties so nicely to what we were talking about a moment ago with the client benchmarking survey, when you receive that, when you see that feedback, the nines and tens are what are defined in the Net Promoter Score process as a promoter, right? So these are people that you're saying, how likely would you refer us? They are giving you as high of score as possible, meaning you've at least met, probably exceeded their expectations mm-hmm. in terms of your relationship or deliverables. So not only are these people ripe for obvious referral opportunities because they're saying 10 out of 10, I'd refer you, but because you've exceeded their expectations, these are also people that are most receptive to cross-sell opportunities. So if you think about your renewal process or if you're doing like a pre-renewal meeting or a stewardship review with key clients, this helps you develop a process focused on only the promoting scores or the promoting clients that would be most receptive to account uh-huh. rounding and upselling.
Got it. All right. Number three?
Number three is stakeholder intimacy.
Okay.
So this is a defined strategy around making sure that key stakeholders that surround the organization, whether it's prospects, whether it's the centers of influence that consistently give you and your agents referrals, or even the underwriters and carriers, do you have a process in place to make sure that they know that you appreciate and care for them?
Ah, okay. Do you include in that team members?
Absolutely. I think employees and family members.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Because we know you got to go home to some sort of spouse, kids, or some other family member, and they got to be happy with you too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else on stakeholder intimacy?
So this could go as far as providing additional education, lunch and learns, or additional webinars. There's tons of research that show that consumers place the most value in professionals that teach them things they don't know. So this is a great opportunity to not only show that you value your prospects, clients, and underwriters, but also provide additional education on areas that they may not have an understanding on. A great example would be cyber liability. It's a hot topic in the industry, but if most consumers don't know the ins and outs of navigating a cyber policy, a cyber breach, or even if cyber is the right product for them.
Ah, so teach them something they don't know.
Yep.
All right, adding value. All right. Category number four.
Category number four is sales leadership. And I won't spend a lot of time on here because I know you and I just spoke about this, but it's something that if you have the bandwidth to have someone come in and provide guidance and education and a process to make sure that your agents are onboarded as efficiently as possible and that they're held accountable throughout their time within the agency, that's going to dramatically increase the efficiencies within your organization.
Okay. this is an under-functioning part of the industry.
Yep.
In my observation, and I know this is your area of expertise, but you must see this all the time with agencies that you work with, that Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I could just hire a producer, give them, you know, their commission or their base, and I don't have to worry about them again.
Yep.
That's not Absolutely. Life, is it?
Yeah, and we know that it's not totally feasible for everyone. It's actually something we just rolled out a modified sales leadership program to a select group of agents that's still kind of being rolled out in the industry. And it's guidance for an agency leader who doesn't have the bandwidth to bring on a sales leader. So what's the roadmap that you can take that allows you to still develop new business, because we know a lot of agency leaders are still in that position of driving new business opportunities, mm-hmm. but also lead and guide and mentor your agents in an effective way possible. So how are you splitting that time? So it's something that we're still working on, but a new program that we're rolling out.
Okay. Number five.
Number five, prospect research and qualification. This is something I think you will also agree with. The way that people need to prospect today has changed from the way people have prospect yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. So, what do you see working in this area? What do you suggest?
So, one of the number one questions I get when I'm with an agency is, how do I fill my pipeline more effectively?
Uh-huh.
And that... It's. I think with the change in social media, I think that there's an interesting development within the industry as to the how to effectively fill a pipeline from a seasoned agent or agency leader who has done it the same way for so long.
Yeah.
And you're seeing these newer agents who are trying to build their brand online because they know that if they can enhance their reputation online, where most of our attention lies today, it's going to, even though it's a long-term strategy, just like getting out there, old-fashioned networking, shaking hands, it will eventually reap the rewards that you're looking for.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that?
No, I think that's pretty straightforward.
So at a minimum, it absolutely requires some online functionality.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And we could spend an hour or a workshop.
Exactly. That's a whole nother podcast.
Okay. Item category number six.
Number six. So this is a consultative sales process. This is, I would say, the core of what Beyond Insurance has been founded on. And the philosophy is pretty simple. If you think about really large organizations in your area, so in Philadelphia we have, let's say, Comcast and Campbell Soup. Campbell Soup were to lose a product line, or if Comcast were to lose a tower, mm-hmm. not going to put them out of business because they have two things going for them. One, they're giant, so they can absorb those losses. But two, they have someone called a chief risk officer, and that chief risk officer is applying a systematic enterprise risk management process. It's a simple process of consult, diagnose, treat, monitor to those organizations 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at most of the agents or most of the insured that a lot of these agencies or a lot of the agencies listening today are insuring, these small businesses, these middle market businesses, if they have a loss that's not properly protected because they didn't have someone come in and first consult with the business and diagnose their risk issues, as opposed to just providing an apples-to-apples quote, trusting that the incumbent did their job correctly, right. that could potentially put them out of business if they're not properly insured. And that's going to cause a damaging ripple effect of not only that organizational leader mm-hmm. who now lost their business, but all the employees. If they are a supplier to any people, it could potentially put at risk those companies, but also be a major vendor. So there's a large ripple effect. So it's not that these large companies, that their risks aren't important, but it's almost more important that agents today have a systematic consultative process of consulting with an organization and diagnosing their risk issues before they go into the methods of how to manage that risk, which includes risk transfer and going to the insurance marketplace.
Got it. Okay. So this would run counter to let me give you a free quote, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think often the salesperson has to change the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Right, because the prospective buyer may be starting the conversation with "I want a quote," and then frequently the response is, "Well, let me see what you got," and so now mm-hmm. all of a sudden we're in the commodity game.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's just a race to the bottom when, in reality, you're protecting these families and these business owners' largest asset. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense today. And I think if you ask any insurance agent, the perception is a huge issue because your job is so important in your community, but it's so undervalued.
Yeah. Okay. The final category, number 7.
The final category, and this one is, I think, still a growing opportunity in a lot of agencies, and this is brand and brand management.
So if
we look at some of the best organizations in the world, you know, these international companies, I like to use Starbucks as my personal example, but think of any other great company that has a great uh-huh. customer experience or strong brand. If I walk into a Starbucks here in Philadelphia,
right.
or I walk into a Starbucks over in Europe, I'm going to get the exact same feel. It's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at some of these agencies that don't have someone in a branding and marketing and advertising position, even if it's not a full-time marketer, but just someone that's having a keen focus on that, Agent A could be using totally different materials from Agent B, which could be totally different materials from how the account managers are structuring their content. And that disjointed approach can really damage the perceptions about the brand and the professionalism of the organization that uh-huh. the insured is working with.
Right. How well do you see agencies dealing with that? My guess is this is another area of sort of major dysfunction.
Yeah, it's becoming I think people are coming around to it.
Yeah.
A lot of agencies, I believe, are understanding the value of bringing on a marketing and advertising professional into their staff because they understand that not only is it brand consistency, but these marketing professionals are able to fill the pipeline by showing the culture of the organization out in the marketplace through marketing and advertising and social media. So I think agencies are coming around. One thing that I have seen agents do or organizations do for consistency is they create standardized first meeting presentations that everyone uses,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps they create first meeting binders and leave them by the front of the office. So anytime an agent goes out to a first meeting or meet with a prospect for the first time, they can take one of those leather-bound, you know, really professional-looking binders
mm-hmm.
and use that so everyone knows that they're using the same material. So you're not leaving it up to the producer to create their own content every single time.
I have a question. I'm circling back to something you said about marketing professionals. Do you see more of the agencies that your firm is working with hiring a marketer on their team?
Yes. So
okay.
we are very lucky, and this is going to be a shout-out to do you know Danny Kimball from the O'Neill Insurance?
I'm sorry, what with who?
O'Neill Insurance
in Ohio.
Well,
I know O'Neill Insurance for sure. But
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So O'Neill Insurance is in our network, and there's their chief marketing officer, Danny Kimball, has really been leading this charge within our network.
Yeah.
She's actually been making her rounds in the speaking circuit, I guess, in the industry is the way to say it, just for her passion for demonstrating the positive culture that they have within their agency.
Yeah,
so if you want to see someone who's been doing something really well from a marketing perspective, mm-hmm. I would look at what Danny has been doing with O'Neill Insurance and their social media presence. But I think she's been driving a lot of leading the charge with saying, look, there is value here, because I think agency leaders, when they think about hiring their next professional, they're thinking, all right, who's the next person that's going to impact our bottom line, who's going to drive revenue? And marketers drive revenue indirectly by making sure that your message gets out to the right people.
Okay. Now, I love to hear that, and it confirms the other sources of research as well as my own. So I think we are seeing some shape-shifting of the independent insurance agency team structure because mm-hmm. more and more agencies are adding this new position. I have one more question that I've got to ask you. So, one, I appreciate you sharing those 7 categories of, that drive organic growth. My other question is, what do you see? What characteristics or traits do you see in the agency leadership, in the agency principal or principles that that lean that agency towards successful organic growth?
The agency leaders that we enjoy working with the most are the ones that have a focus on this ability to grow organically, and they know they need to do things differently.
Got it. Okay.
One of our favorite stories is we always listen to people that say, you know, we're feeling burned out. We're just doing the exact same thing. We're spinning our wheels. And they know that there's got to be a better way, mm-hmm. and that's where we like to focus most of our attention. A great example is if you look at an agency, High Point Insurance in uh-huh. Texas, another agency that we're working with, Heather Smiro is their agency leader, and they're running at about 28% organic growth right now, all because she's leading from a cultural perspective, saying this is the way that we're doing business in the future. We want to add value. We want to be advocates within our community, and we understand the importance of our role as
right.
insurance professionals.
Uh-huh.
They've rebranded even their producer name. So we don't usually like to use the term producer because we always want to think, how can we be different? They call all of their agents, their unique consultative process is called RISE 360. So they call all of their agents RISE architects, and they call all of their account managers RISE engineers. Do you think uh-huh. the architect designs the risk management blueprints
right.
to protect the organization and the engineers execute on those blueprints? Like, that's
yeah.
innovative. That's
yeah.
different. That's special.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us, you had mentioned that one or more of these assessments are available to our listeners.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this. So we recently... We rebranded after about a year working on these projects, and now if you go to beyondinsurance.com, you can actually take these free assessments, one for agency leaders, one for producers, one for sales managers, depending on the structure of your organization, completely for free. And on top of that, what we've actually been doing as kind of a giving back to the insurance community, because everything we try and do is really about just trying to serve the insurance community.
Right.
We're actually giving free coaching calls based off of these assessments as well. So not only are you going to be able to go through the assessment, you'll be able to benchmark either yourself as an agency leader, or I would even encourage make all your producers go through it, and we can aggregate the results for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where the biggest gaps in your producer development is, and then we'll get on the phone and we'll give you everything we have to improve the agency. So that's something that we've just decided as just a value of what we want to do to impact the community and really change the way that this industry is serving their local marketplaces.
That's very generous. So that is on beyondinsurance.com, right?
Yep. Okay. Right on the homepage, you're going to see a big old button that you can take any of those assessments.
That's outstanding. And if anybody else has a question or they want to find out more about Beyond Insurance,
yeah, so we're very active, beyondinsurance.com. You can contact any of us. You can also reach out. I mean, if you have more questions based off of anything that I've spoken about today, you're welcome to reach out to me or any of the other members of the Beyond Insurance team.
Okay.
My email is moneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at beyondinsurance.com, or you can call us at 484-704-9500, and we'll help you however we can.
All right. Boom. Matt, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you sharing with us today.
Yeah, I, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.